I changed a lot of the talk today because there's been so many Cyber Resilience Act presentations in the last few days, and in particular yesterday there was a half-day DevRoom on the CRA in practice, and so to avoid duplicating what's already been said in those presentations, I changed a lot of the slides, and so I hope I'm still within the scope of what I was meant to talk about. So the talk is aimed to be an introduction to the work that we're doing on the Cyber Resilience Act. And in particular, we find that it's easy enough for the larger entities to get involved. And so the aim is to try and get smaller entities to also participate. But I didn't want to give the impression that actually the CRA is going to affect everyone. So maybe it should have been actually a question, is the CRA for everyone? Or maybe it's CRA information for everyone, including small projects. The other reason I changed the talk is because I've been talking to so many people in the last 5 days about the Cyber Resilience Act, and it's really surprising, and you know, you have to be reminded of this constantly, how different the levels of awareness are and how different the interests are in different topics. And so, you know, once again, I had to change a lot of slides, and this is a little bit of a mishmash of topics, but I hope there's something in it for everyone. So, you know, one of the topics that you know I generally forget is something you still need to talk about is the timeline. So, this is important because the Cyber Resilience Act was voted on and adopted by the EU institutions at the end of 2024. And so, sometimes the media talks about it's done, it's adopted, and it's entered into force. And then people might look around and say, well, nothing really changed. And you might get the impression that the Cyber Resilience Act was no big deal. But the law is in force, but the fines for not applying the law are not yet applicable. So there will be a smaller part of the Cyber Resilience Act on September 11 will become applicable, the fines for vulnerability reporting, but the main provisions are not coming in until December 11, 2027. So we're still in the phase of working out how we're going to comply, and then what I'm going to show today is that we're also still in the phase of drafting the Cyber Resilience Act. So as I mentioned, the reason we want to focus on small projects is that the larger entities, like I work for Eclipse Foundation, and we have policy people like myself, and we have lawyers, and we have people who can work on compliance, and then once we have to do this work anyway for the software projects that we host, then it's kind of easy to apply this to the other projects that we also host. So for us, we're kind of the easy case for doing CRA compliance. And what we want to do though is one of the roles of code hosting FOSS foundations is to benefit the ecosystem in general and to bring stability to the ecosystem. And so we try to make our materials available in the way that's most useful for everyone. And so what we did is we publish all our information on our website, and then also we went a bit further and we created this coalition called the Open Regulatory Compliance Working Group, and that is a place where everyone who has to deal with the Cyber Resilience Act, and that can be people who love open source and it can be people who hate open source, as long as you have to deal with Cyber Resilience Act compliance, this working group is a place to coordinate and make that work as least painful as possible. So that's the Open Regulatory Compliance Working Group webpage, and there's a QR code, and I'll show that at the end, but I'm not going to dwell on that for the moment. So in the Cyber Resilience Act, the main categories of people who have obligations are the manufacturers and the students, and manufacturers and stewards, and then the other category. And the other category doesn't really get a formal name, but the verb providing is used at some point, so we could call them providers of software. And so these are the ones that are most likely to be exempt. And so I talk about exemption because when you talk to small entities, the first thing some of them want to hear is, am I exempt, or how do I get exempt? And the focus is on maximizing the ability to ignore the Cyber Resilience Act. And so you can look into the text, and so this is just a little small introduction to your reading EU legislation, because when you look at the text of the Cyber Resilience Act, you have this sentence and it says your free and open source software is only covered when, and because of the word only there, that sounds like this is going to be, this is the exemption now. So what is the exemption? Free and open source software is only covered if it's made available on the market. And so that would look like the, and then you could start looking at, you know, what does it mean to be made available on the market? But when you look at the scope of the Cyber Resilience Act, it actually only applies to software that's made available on the market, or digital products with products with digital elements made available. So that's not the unique criteria that makes free and open source software exempt. So then you have to go back.